Welcome back to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. This is episode 31 for Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. And the show, as usual, is sponsored by TLBTalk.com, a place where you can go to roar. And why do I say a place where you can go to roar? Well, next time you go in there, take a look at our logo. Yeah, it's a lion's head. All right. The title of today's show is When It Hurts to Be Right. And yeah, I'm serious. When It Hurts to Be Right. This show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by a good friend of mine and a fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring into the conversation as soon as I get past the every week sign-on bit. All right, listen to me. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. I always say, I hate to say that, I always say it's not a pleasant way to introduce a show, but I also say today it is reality, and it's blatant, and it's not very pleasant in any aspect. But that was the reason for, and the impetus for, Eagle's Eye Report. This is why we are here. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Awake Radio. Our thanks to Andy, who's been a good friend of mine for many years, somebody I have a lot of value and faith in. And also, we go out live on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlow Radio. So for each and every one of those platforms, we give you a big thank you. We appreciate you helping us to get our word out. All right, Stephen, would you like to say hello to this phenomenal audience?
Hello, phenomenal audience.
I knew that was going to happen. I did. All right. Let me say something else before we dig into topic today, okay? And that is these platforms, and yes, you've heard this before, but I think it's always worth repeating. These platforms, in most cases, pretty much depend on the generosity of those listening in order to continue to provide you with the best of information and in a timely fashion. Donating to these platforms is a great idea, and we strongly suggest it. Donating $20 here, $35 there, maybe $50 3 months from now, maybe, I don't know, another $25 before the year's over, blah, blah. That's all fine, and it all helps, and you are appreciated beyond belief. Want to make it even better without spending maybe even a penny more than you already do? Average what you normally give a year. Shouldn't take too much figuring. You've got a checkbook or whatever, PayPal account. You can see exactly what goes out to who when. Take that number divided by 12. Let's say it's $120 over the course of a year. You divide it by 12, that's $10 per month. And the next time you go in to make a donation, you check the little box that says make this a reoccurring payment. I will say this again, and especially for those who may not have heard it for, I don't know, about the 13th or 15th time, Steve. If you make that a reoccurring donation, you allow them to build a budget. You allow them to know what they can depend on a weekly basis. This gives them confidence to upgrade. This gives them confidence to expand. This gives them the confidence to do the things they can to do better for you. So if you think of it, and it's something you can manage, which would be, again, not a whole lot every few months, but a smaller amount each month automatically. Again, you're helping them to help you. All right. I would also say our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss the vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. And that being the sponsor of this show, TLB Talk. This is a place, even if you're not looking to be social, if you're looking to put a group or a page up somewhere where people can see it, people can respond to it, you can have discussions with individuals that you know you can have. And if you don't join TLB Talk for any other reason other than to start a group, where you can have a discussion with those you trust, to me, that's a good enough reason to go there. Okay. Let's get down to business here. The title of the show today, again, is When It Hurts to Be Right. I'm going to start this off by prefacing the fact that most of what you're going to hear today, you have heard in one fashion or another. It's not going to be a word-to-word repeat of anything. It's going to be another individual standing back and taking a look at what this person saw and describing to you what he saw and the ramifications of it. But I do this every single day. And for all of you rolling your eyes into the back of your head, Tom, you're going to hear it anyway. I do this every single day for a minimum of 16 hours a day. That's my shortest day, 16 hours. I have not had a day off in over 13 years now. I am constantly researching, constantly doing shows, constantly writing articles, constantly trying to make people aware of what the hell is going on around them. America has a pretty long history, well over two centuries long. But yet, in the last 2 years, we have seen catastrophe beyond anything you can imagine. And right about now, the fan's blowing hard enough that the sawdust is moving aside and some of the lies are being uncovered. This is where we sit today. When I come on and I do a show and I tell you what does it take to destroy America, I did that show for you guys. What would it take to destroy America? What has to be done? What concerted efforts need to be accomplished? And how many of them do you need running simultaneously to make this effective? And what are the catalysts that'll get you into this? Now, it's just like I talked about vaccines almost 15 years ago. I've written well over 500 vaccine-related articles. And I was talking about the damage these things do over a decade ago. And today we have more experts and doctors and researchers standing up to say this, and this about vaccines. Now, does that vindicate me? Yes, it does. Does it make me happy? No, it does not. It doesn't make me happy at all. What's the title of the show? When It Hurts to Be Right. If I didn't want you all knowing, or if I wanted just to have a warm, fuzzy feeling, the last thing I'd be telling you all is that the vaccine program in this country has been intentionally shortening the lifespans of you, of people like you and me, and making it so that, I don't know, a lot of us can't have babies. And I can prove all that statistically. But yet, if I said these things 10 years ago, most people went, where's this guy? What's he smoking? Tell him to pass it over to me. This is what a lot of you thought. But yet today, because of the information coming out, all of a sudden the things I was talking about are shown in a light to be absolutely 100% true. I'm supposed to be happy about that. Do I feel vindicated? Yes, I do. Am I happy? No, I'm not. Why would I ever be happy? Because your fertility is being knocked to the ground. Your children's, most of our children will suffer from chronic diseases, and our lifespan has been shortened. Why the hell would I be happy about that? Prove me right. I'm vindicated. Am I going to be happy about it? Are you insane? No. I'm not going to be happy about it. But this doesn't stop there. When you've been doing this as long as I have, talking about as many things as I've talked about over the years on as many forums and platforms as would have me, other than the ones that the Liberty Beacon Project outright owns itself, here we go, people. We're back in the same scenario again. I told you several weeks ago What I felt from my perspective, and I actually did a show about this almost a year ago, only it wasn't as detailed because we weren't as far along. But what would I have to do if I was intentionally trying to destroy America? Now, I got some good feedback from that. And I also got some people that said, hey, that's crazy, Roger. Are you serious? Do you really go to bed thinking about that kind of stuff at night? Well, the answer to the last question is yes, I do. But every once in a while, you get vindication. Somebody that you are not connected with, somebody you don't even know, somebody you're definitely not sharing information with or articles or have never done a show with, steps up out into the spotlight where for the first time you recognize them and they tell people about those things you just told them about. Now, I'm going to go over this other individual's information. And I'm going to input into it because anybody listening to this show has heard me repeat so much of this stuff so often, you're going to know exactly what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is, this is what he said. Do you remember me saying this? Listen to me, people. Okay? One person telling you something does not make it true. And if you believe it is, you're an idiot. Two people telling you something ought to make you suspicious, but it's still not a guarantee. To me, the minimum of a guarantee are three unrelated sources telling me the same thing. This is the third time this has happened since I did the show on what would I want to do if I was going to destroy America. This is the third one, so I felt it was time to bring other people's thoughts on the exact same topics out to you so that you can understand that unrelated individuals from across this country are coming to the same exact, I don't know, ideas that I am, the same exact conclusions I am, and why? Why? This is all about credibility. The more people who step up to back up what you say or to say it in their own fashion, which in turn backs up what you say, the further your word can spread and the more people will actually listen to it. Okay, so that's basically the setup for this, all right? How about we talk about an article, and this article will be, of course, it will be in the article that gets published on the LibertyBeacon.com tomorrow by noon central, Eagle's Eye Report. You will find this gentleman's article in there in total so you can read this and understand none of this was misrepresented. The title of his article is, if we really wanted to destroy the United States, then, period. Okay, and this was written by Victor Davis Hanson, whom I have no relationship whatsoever with. But that may change. So, if you really wanted to destroy America, then what would you do? Well, first you would surrender our prior energy independence. Reduce new gas and oil leases on federal lands to the lowest levels of any president in history. Cut back production at precisely the same time the world is emerging from a two-year lockdown and pent-up consumer demand. Make war on coal and nuclear power. Drain the strategic petroleum reserve to make the pain for the consumers more bearable for midterm election advantage. These are things we saw. Millions upon millions of barrels of oil were taken from the federal, from the reserves to boost the oil for you and me right before the elections to keep you from feeling the gas pain so heavily. But how many of you remember that some of that oil, over a million barrels of that oil, was sold to a company that Hunter Biden does business with in China who has direct ties to the CCP? This is the United States Petroleum reserve. The last place it's supposed to go is to people we either consider to be adversaries or whatever. So I have stated, and you have all heard me state this, that one of the biggest damages to our entire economy was the day Joe Bob slipped behind the desk in the Oval Office, took out his pen, and just about closed off the oil spigot. When he did that, he immediately caused a massive spike in inflation. They tried to pass the buck off by telling you that a lot of that was done due to the massive spending. Was that a catalyst? Yes, it was. But what gives you an immediate reaction? A bill I'm going to talk about, then I'm going to debate, then I'm going to pass, then I've got to fund. And we're talking a 5, 6, 7 month process in some cases here. When I sit down in the Oval Office and I take my pen and I say, let there be no oil, your price hikes are tomorrow, not 6 months from now. They're tomorrow. Why? Because all of a sudden, all of these, I don't know, refineries that are depending on product are either going to get none or a whole lot less than what they were getting, which means that in order to keep the doors open and stay viable, they have to immediately raise prices. Can I explain something to everybody out there listening to this? If we take gasoline and put it totally aside, let's just talk about diesel fuel, which can be used for heating fuel, which can be used for power plants, which can be used for, but let's just talk about diesel fuel. If what he did would immediately have caused a spike in the price of diesel fuel, which it absolutely did, 95% of every product or service you will ever use on a daily basis at some point is transported or manufactured via a mechanism using diesel fuel. Whether it's heating your home, whether it's electricity for your home, whether it's in your diesel-powered truck or car, whether it's in every big long-haul 18-wheeler, whether it's on the locomotives, whether it's on the massive ships that move the cargo across the oceans, 95% or more of everything you will ever use, consume, or come into contact with over the course of a year has spent some time on a diesel-powered vehicle. That's not a joke. So when I said that, everybody said, oh, Roger, you're overstating it. Okay, what does my friend say? Let's go over this again. Reduce new gas and oil leases on federal land to the lowest levels of any president in history. Cut back production at precisely the time the world is emerging from a 2-year lockdown with pent-up consumer demand. All of a sudden, here you go. If you are going to turn the spigot off or almost off, then the value of what is left and those fighting for it, there is your initial spike in inflation. That is what caused the initial wham, right upside your head of inflation. It was Joe Bob's masters telling him, the puppet masters, to shut the spigot off or damn near shut it off on day one. And again, make war on coal, make war on nuclear power, drain the strategic petroleum reserve to make the pain for consumers more bearable before midterm elections. This is what he writes. He also writes, cancel the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil and gas field. Block pipelines like the Keystone oil pipeline and the Constitution natural gas line. Overregulate and demoralize frackers and horizontal drillers. Ensure there is less investment for their exploration and production. Now, make use of internal combustion engines or fossil fuel power generation, prohibitively expensive, achieve a green oil dependency along the lines of contemporary Europe. We are being told that if we run out of oil, where are we going to get it from? Well, we've got to beg Saudi Arabia. Well, we've got to beg Russia. Well, we've got to beg. And what most people don't understand is that all of the massive problems being thrown in your face right now are all fixable, and most of them are based on absolute lies. The United States has the largest oil reserves on the planet. And for any of you who question that, that's for another day. But let me put it to you this way, and you tell me who else has this much. If you take everything else, whether it's the Gulf, whether it's the oil fields in Texas, everything else and put it aside, don't count it. Underneath the Rockies, the Southern Rockies in the United States, on the eastern side of the Rockies, there is estimated to be 3 trillion barrels of oil. Some of it is in shale, but there are methods for extracting it. But we are talking about, with all of our other reserves and those reserves, we have the largest reserves on the planet. But yet our entire economy is being roughshod over, and it is literally being destroyed, or your ability and my ability to enjoy life is being destroyed even more every day and on a regular basis because we don't have enough oil. What? We have the largest oil reserves on the planet. And in order to go greener, we're not going to drill for our oil. If we need oil, we'll get it from someone else. Like when they drill for it, it's cleaner. But they're not doing it here in America. Remember that, okay? So if I was going to destroy America, the first thing I would do is I would make sure that fossil fuels were a huge issue to the public. Accomplished. How about another point? How about we print trillions of dollars in new currency as the lockdown ends, demand raises, and consumers are already saturated with COVID-19 subsidiaries? First off, as far as the subsidiaries go, as far as these are issues that need to be discussed, but the one that's blaring in your face right here from his number 2 point is one that I made as well. Massive overspending does, in effect, cause inflation. If you stop to also consider, it puts debt on our children's back, that how do we know they can ever repay it? Social Security is 10 to 12 years at the most away from the point where, what, they're going to have to stop making payments to seniors? But yet we have people on the Hill who are spending $1 trillion like it's you asking Dad for 20. Dad didn't want to give you 20 bucks when you were a kid. What the hell do you need 20 bucks for? Explain that to me. And you would have to go through an entire rigmarole to get that 20 bucks from him. But getting $1 trillion today, getting our Congress to approve, or our president, or even the Senate to approve and spend $1 trillion today has become almost normal. But we are in a situation right now where our national debt exceeds $31 trillion. You're not going to pay that. I'm 68 years old. I'm not going to pay that. Who's going to pay that? Your children. And your children's children. And if anybody believes it's actually going to make it that far, you're a moron. Long before that happens, it will be used, this debt will be used as an excuse for a global monetary reset. Oh, geez, a great reset. That has a familiar ring to it. Okay? But these are things that both myself and this author have looked at and realized their place in all of this chaos. And I've got to give Victor credit. That's two out of two. I agree with a vast majority of what he said. Okay? Keep interest rates low, well below the rate of inflation as you print more money. Ensure that passbook holders earn no interest at the very time prices skyrocket into the highest per annum level in 40 years. Okay? Also, inflation. Spread the wealth by sending money to those who already have enough while making it less valuable for those deemed to have too much, like you and me. Ensure runaway high prices to wean the middle class off its consumerism and supposedly to inspire them to buy less junk they don't really need. Damn the rich in the open and in the abstract, court them and concrete the secret, their secrets in darkness. Okay. God, I don't even know where to start with this. If you stop to consider how many times have we been told, who do we have to listen to? We have to listen to the people we elected to represent us. We are told we have to listen to them when in fact it is they who are supposed to listen to us, and something they've stopped doing totally. Very, very few, hardly any at all, spend the time to listen to exactly what you would like to see them do. We're being told what they will do and what they won't do. And we're being told that consumerism should be tweaked so that the rich get more. And you and I, well, we shouldn't have to spend our money on these useless things that we really don't need. The only thing is, who tells us what's useless in our life? Who tells us what we really do and don't need? Is it an elitist class that decides what the PNs can and can't have, what they should be allowed and shouldn't be allowed, shouldn't be, how they're supposed to think and what they're not supposed to think about? This is exactly what you're talking about. All right, let's hit the third point. End America's physical boundaries. I don't even think I want to jump into this one yet, Steve. Is there a chance we can run the commercial a little earlier today?
Sure.
So that once that's over, I can pick that football up and run with it.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, whatever you want, but I've got a couple comments after we come back, if you want.
Well, you can give them to me right now if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I heard an interview, or maybe it was a documentary, one or the other, a couple of weeks back, that said every single thing a government, or, you know, I hate calling them government anymore because they're not governments. They're criminal cartels. But every single thing that has ever been done by a government was thought up by a philosopher. Everything that happens to us is thought up by a philosopher. You know, and there are many, many philosophical associations all over the world.
Everything that was ever done to us was done by a philosopher.
No,
the only problem
was thought up by a philosopher.
Thought up. The only problem with that is, who deems them a philosopher and who doesn't?
Correct.
Okay. So, and that's like who's an expert at COVID and who isn't, or who is, and I could go on. And we already know the absolute phobars assigned to each and every one of those issues.
Uh-huh.
So have you got another one, or are you going to roll into a break? If you got another comment, spit it out, please.
Sure. Okay. There was a philosopher. His name was Oxham. I don't remember his first name now, but there's the Oxham Razors philosophical conundrum. Oxham's razor, I think I've said this many times on air, but Oxham's razor is, if you have many solutions to a problem, normally the easiest solution is the correct solution.
Yeah, I think it actually goes the simplest, but yes, you're right.
The simplest. You ready for the break now?
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about the southern border.
All right. Be right back in a minute, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, and remember, you need a place to go, make a group, make a page, be able to hold discussions with those you trust. TLB Talk is there for you, okay? Whether you settle back and have a social place within the community, we'd appreciate that as well. But again, if you need a place to talk, try TLB Talk. Okay, let's go to the third issue that I find myself in pretty much agreement with Victor. And number three is a big one for me. End America's physical boundaries. Render it an amorphous people and an anywhere space. End any difference between a citizen and a resident. Up the current nearly 50 million who are not born in the United States, 27% of California's population, to 100 million or more by allowing 3 million illegals to enter the United States or close to that number each year. Oh, gee. Okay. Joe Bob hasn't been in office for quite 2 years. The number is at least right now close to 6 million. It's insane. And if you take the gotaways and you throw them on top of there, you're over 6 million. So we're talking about 3 million illegals a year. Okay. Why do I grab onto this as I'm really glad that he put this in his 10 issues? Well, it's like this, people. One of the easiest ways to destroy the, the ability of a nation to feel pride in its sovereignty is to show it has no sovereignty. With an open southern border, we know for a fact that millions of people are coming across a year. Hundreds of thousands in some months, okay? And that's absolutely insane. And why do I say that? Because when you become president of the United States, you swear an oath. What is that oath? You swear to protect we the people, you and me, from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. You swear to guard the boundaries of this country. And if you fail to do that, you are in fact breaking an oath you swore to. And if that's not an impeachable offense, I would like to know what is. Because at this point in time, we not only have a president who does not make the situation better, he constantly exacerbates it to make it worse. Anybody who does any math at all will see that month after month after month, a new record has been set for the amount of people who came across the border illegally. Why has it tended to increase every single month? Because the entire world knows that we have a president who will not fulfill his oath by shutting the border down to protect you and me. Why am I so worried about a bunch of poor, and maybe they're not all poor, but generally they are, or disadvantaged individuals coming across the southern border. Why is that bothering me so much? Well, they know that of the ones that have come across the border, not all the getaways, that over 100 of them were on the terrorist watch list. They know for a fact that we have, hundreds of thousands, the highest number ever, of working-aged individuals dying of overdoses from fentanyl and cocaine like we've never seen before. We know that we have child trafficking. We know that we have women trafficking. We know that we have pedophilia, all of this going on at a rate we have never seen. All of this sponsored by cartels who literally own our southern border. If you have no sovereignty, what is your basis to be a nation? What? You're a nation from where to where? From the bottom of Mexico? From the bottom of Panama? From the bottom of Brazil? From where to where? Sovereignty means that you protect our borders and our people. We, the people. If you refuse to do it, and he has refused to do it, then that is an impeachable offense. If he swears to do it, but he hasn't done it. Yeah. If you also stop to consider, okay, that it's not just him, it's Mayorkas. Mayorkas, the Republicans are already saying they're going to impeach him. Or they're going to do so much investigation on it that whether he gets impeached or not, because they don't control the Senate, it will have been a ruckus that will probably force him to resign. Look, if I fail to keep my oath, if I fail to protect the United States, if I fail to the point where I'm encouraging it and making it worse by doing nothing, and all of you out there saying, what can he do? Let me explain something to all of you right now that ought to pop into your head like a ton of lead bricks. They want to hire 87, they've already started to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Stop and think about that. There's 50 states. How many more in every damn state? This is insane. That's an army, literally an army of IRS agents. We didn't need them before. We don't need them now. But what we do need is about 100,000 border agents that would shut the flow off instantly. If we put 100,000 trained border agents on that border today, all of this would stop. So I can pay 87,000 new IRS agents to go out and make your life and my life more miserable because they're after us. They're not after the people with big bucks, and you all better know that. They're after the yous and me's. If I can pay 87,000 of them, huge bucks, to go out and do that, but I can't close the border? If I can take that money and put it on something that is literally going to destroy the cohesion of citizens in this country, the IRS, but I won't put a penny of it or any of those agents on the southern border where we know that terrorists, where we know that drugs, where we know that human trafficking is all happening on a daily basis? Why do you think I was happy to see that when my new friend, because I will definitely meet this guy, Victor, put this down, it made so much sense to me. Okay, let's go to the fourth issue. Destroy the public trust in its elections. How many shows have I done on that? How many? How many times have we discussed the fact that we haven't had an election that wasn't stolen or wasn't in a serious attempt to steal it, in at least 20 years. A national election for absolute sure for at least, I don't know, since the Obama days. Stop and look at this, people. We are looking at a situation where so many people know for a fact because it can be proven. It can be proven. Don't let them tell you it can't be. It can be. So many facts exist to show that a 2020 election was so massively fraudulent. But yet we go through a midterm election, in which case a lot of the exact same mechanisms of fraudulence have been used again, and people complained, and again, nobody is listening. When you reach a point where election after election, every 2 years going forward, they can utilize the same mechanisms over and over again, and each time with an increasing amount of confidence that nobody's even going to complain anymore, because why should they bother? Nothing's going to happen. We are looking at a system right now where an old man, yes, who can barely string a dozen sentences together, who forgets his way on and off stage, who ends up by cussing at people who piss him off in public, who stays in his basement for 90 to 95% of the biggest race we have in politics in this country, the presidential election, who can't put more than 50 people in a high school gym while his opponent puts 50,000 people in an auditorium with 10,000 standing outside because there wasn't any room left. But yet he won the biggest number of votes in recorded history for a presidential election. How many of you actually believe that? We are looking today at a situation whereby Americans are getting totally fed up with the system of elections. It's not trusted. It shouldn't be trusted. It's corrupt. That's a fact.
Hey, Roger.
So, yes.
Can I interject some irony into the discussion for a minute?
Okay.
The party of young people, the party of fight the power people, have put in, well, the party that hates old white men had put in an old white man into their office.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was enough to get me smiling. Thank you very much. Okay. So, render election day irrelevant. Make proper auditing of 110 million mail-in early ballots impossible. Normalize ballot harvesting and ballot curing. Urge leftist billionaires to refuse their riches, to infuse their riches to absorb the work of state registrars in the key precincts to ensure the correct turnout, what they want. Blast as election denialist, insurrectionist, and democracy destroyers, anyone who objects to these radical ballot changes, neither passed by the U.S. Congress nor by state legislators. Weaponize the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Justice. This is what we call the deep state, people. This is part of an administration that has been ingrained for so long and has gained a little bit more power every year. And when you've been around for 100 years and you've gained a little bit of power every year, after 100 years, you got a lot of power. And then you can tell all the people out there who like Trump, you better hide, we're coming for you. And all the people out there who like Biden, hey, you can go burn the city down. We don't care what you do. We'll get you out of jail. It's all cool. Where am I wrong? If a parent, a conservative parent, goes to school and tells the teachers, you're not teaching my children that they can be a boy when they're a girl or a girl when they're a boy at 5 years old. You're not teaching them. I won't have that. They are a domestic terrorist. But if Antifa or BLM individuals, members, whatever you want to call them, burn a city to the ground, causing billions of dollars worth of damage, they don't even serve time. Those are mostly peaceful protests. Again, what are we looking at? And that's where your satire came in there. And I appreciate that. I do, Steve. Okay. Let's go to the fifth. Oh, and I also want to real quick mention the weaponization of the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Justice. When you raid an ex-president's home and you can't even prove months later that he's done anything that should have caused it, when you do these type of things, Russia, 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 when you do these type of things, hiding Hunter Biden's laptop, when you do these type of things, what you have is a deep state, an ingrained state, FBI, CIA, DIS, Department of Justice, who are now literally telling you what you can and can't do and who will and won't run this country. And you better shut up and listen. That's the America you live in today. Otherwise, the FBI is going to be knocking on your door. Wanna bet? About number five. His fifth point is redefine crime as one rich man's crime and another poor man's necessity. Okay. Let loose who need things exercised, their entitlement. Again, I really don't want to go into this one because this isn't one that I necessarily disagree with, but I don't think it's as important here. Okay, he talks about rewriting or ignoring laws to exempt the opposed who take or do what they want as atonement for past systemic racism or oppression. We just talked about that. We talked about the parent going to school and ending up with the CIA, with the DOJ knocking on their door, or the Antifa guy who goes and burns down three city blocks in the middle of your downtown, causing $50 million worth of damage, and he goes to jail, and the next morning they let him out. No bail, no nothing. Bye-bye. You'll never see this kid again. But this is what we are looking at, okay? You better be on the right side, because if you are, you can get anything you want just about. If you're on the wrong side, even if everything you're doing is right, will make you sorry you're doing it. This is America you live in today. How about number six? Junk the ossified idea of a melting pot and multiracial society united by common American values and ideals. Instead, identify individuals by their superficial appearance. This is what Victor said, okay? In other words, seek to be a victim and monetize your claims against perceived victimizers. Call anyone a racist who resists you. If I resist you, I'm a racist. Okay? Why am I a racist? And who am I a racist to? Is this LGBTQ? I've been told there's up to 100 different preferences or I don't know what you'd even call them anymore. 100. Not just two, men and women. 100. Okay? And if you speak badly about me, all I have to do is scream I'm a victim and monetize my claims. And that will go far. Call anybody who resists what I'm doing a racist. And that will get you attention. Encourage each tribe defined by common race, ethnic gender, or sexual orientation affinities to band together to oppose the monolithic white privilege majority encouraged social and tribal tensions. Racially discriminate to end discrimination. What is Roger talking about? Critical race theory. If Martin Luther King Jr. was alive today, Dr. King would look at critical race theory and say, "Are you kidding me?" He fought his entire life, all the way up to his death, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt or to make the point that all men were in fact created equal, that none were better, none were worse, all were the same, all deserved the same respect, the same attention, the same everything. But critical race theory takes us back to the day where we appoint those who are victims and should have everything, and those who are evil and should have nothing. Regardless of the fact that you're teaching this to kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old who never had one iota of the, I don't know, doings with all of these things we're talking about, whether it was slavery, whether it doesn't matter. They had absolute, and what you're doing is driving a wedge between our children that Dr. Martin Luther King pretty much gave his life to eliminate. Okay. Make America divided again. When Trump was in office, and no, I'm not a huge Trump fan, I have to say that each show so people understand, but these are things that need to be said. When Trump was in office, we had the least amount of race stress that we've had in modern history. We had all of these, whether it was the black race, whether it was the Hispanic, whether it was the Asiatic, whether it didn't matter, all were at their highest level of participation within the society. All were at their highest levels of jobs they were getting, positions they were being hired to. Racism was at its least in this country. One of the first things they had to do, they had to change when Trump was kicked to the curb intentionally, was to go back to dividing America again. Something Obama was actually quite good at. Yes. Okay. All right. So let's green light statue toppling, name changing, boycotting, cancel culturing, ostracizing, and Trotskyizing. Erase the past and control the present and create a new America, a new American person for the future. So in other words, you are not good enough in what we had. If you were a patriotic American, a hardworking American, an American who loved their neighbors, an American who worked with their neighbors, an American who said hello to anybody walking down the street, no matter what the color of their skin or their sex was, if you were this type of an American, you are not good enough for America anymore. A new American person has to be created. This is what you are seeing. Again, he says the exact same things I have been saying, but he says them with a totally different approach, using different words, and I love it. I absolutely do. Okay. How about number 7? Render the United States just one of the many nations abroad. Just one of any other nation, okay? Abandon Afghanistan in shame. Leave behind thousands of loyal Afghani allies, billions of dollars in equipment, and a billion-dollar embassy, and the largest airbase in Central Asia. Appease the theocracy to reenter the Iran nuclear deal. In other words, get on your knees and beg. Beg enemies like Venezuela, Russia, and Iran to pump more oil when it is politically expedient for us to have abundant supplies of oil. That we have in abundance but won't produce is a fact. Discourage friends like Guinea from producing more energy and cancel allies' energy products like the East Med pipeline. Excuse me. Trash but then beg Saudi Arabia to pump more oil right before the midterms for some domestic political advantage. I'm not going to beat this up because we've been over it already. We've been over it to the point where each one of the individual issues I just brought up within this topic has been discussed. But if you were, I don't know, looking to bring America down respect-wise in the eyes of the world, all you have to do is look at what Joe Bob has been responsible for in the last 2 years. I spent my entire adult life traveling the world, 1.5 million air miles. I did this for 30 years. I know what people overseas thought of America, and I know what they think now. And we're the jokes, we're the laughingstock of the planet. How about number 8? Neuter the First Amendment. Enlist Silicon Valley monopolies to silence unwanted free speech while using big tech's mega profits to warp elections. $400 million by, one of them went into the system to help rig it. And we know for a fact, just from what Musk has been releasing in the Twitter papers, that there were actual meetings that were held between the government and social media on a regular basis leading up to the election. What you are looking at there is basically an insurrection. What you are looking at there is a election rigging. What you are looking at there is 100% unconstitutional, but nobody's going to pay for it. Nobody. How about number 9? Demonize half the country as semi-fascist, un-American, insurrectionist, and even potential domestic terrorists. Try to change inconvenient ancient rules. Seek to pack the court, end the filibuster, junk the Electoral College, and bring in 2 more states. Twice impeach a president who tried to stand in your way. Try him when he is in an... Oh, God. Try to do this even when he's a private citizen. Raid his home. Seek to indict a future rival to the current president. And all of this is being accomplished by who? It's being accomplished by the deep state, by the CIA, by the FBI, by the DOJ. These are the people that work for you and I. What are they working for? Shaping America as they see it or their masters see it. And it hasn't a damn thing to do with you. How about number 10? Never mention the origins of the COVID virus. Never blame China for the release of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Exempt investigations of U.S. health officials who subsidize gain of function in Chinese labs. Ignore the Bill of Rights to mandate vaccinations, mask wearing, and quarantines. That's 10 points, 10 points that I would use if I was trying to destroy America. All right, here it is, people. Here's a big smack right upside your freaking head. All 10 of them have already been accomplished. All 10 of them.
And one other thing, Roger.
What's that?
All 10 of them have come right out of the Communist Manifesto, too.
Yes. And that's a point I made when I did my show about this, was that this was all based on basic communist principles. But what everybody here needs to understand is everything I just talked about from – and Victor's article will be embedded with my article and this show tomorrow. You can read the entire article, and you will be able to see the article I wrote and the show I did. So you can compare the two. What you will see is we are both seeing the same things, but we're seeing it from the different side of the bridge. He's standing on one side. I'm standing on the other side. Nothing is going to be exactly the same, but the results, that's the only thing that will be the same. I value the opinions. I value him as a resource going forward because I know what he's looking at and the decisions he's coming to make sense. You only win by building a list of people you trust. Victor just came on my list, and he probably deserved to be there a long time ago, and we just never crossed paths. All 10 points that I gave you that I would do if I wanted to destroy America have already been done. Stop and think about that. Any last words, Steve?
Kind of, yes.
Kind of?
Well, the last 2 weeks I started a new book by Bertrand Russell, The Scientific Outlook. Ugh. And basically within the first 5 pages, he said that he thought philosophically that teaching rhetoric and logical fallacies should be done away with because they were kind of useless and outdated. But actually, you know, that's probably a better interpretation of that would have been. It's not outdated, but it's how people can realize they're being deceived.
Yes. Yes. Realization of deception is something we go for here. This is what we try to push over on you over and over and over again. One of these days, it'll hang right off of you, and you'll wake up and you'll look and you'll go, man, this is all screwed up. The people who listen to the show are appreciated because you know we're always going to give you information we've done a lot of research on. Today, I backed that up with another individual I have never met who brought out the exact same issues and came to the same conclusions via different mechanisms. This adds value. Look, people, stop and think. All 10 of these have already happened. Where do we go from here? We'll talk about that next week. Next week's show is, where do we go from here? And thank you all for listening. You're all appreciated.